Hi everybody, I'm Kate Brubaker and welcome back to Road Noise.
I'm Will Brubaker and yes, thank you for listening to Road Noise brought to you by the Life Nomadic. So, we've had a few days here, we've been sitting on this beach in Peru, we've been parked up for a couple of days. I am actually on vacation, which means we pretty much have nothing to do but sit on the beach and watch the waves. And that's really, really cool, except for that kind of ends up having an expiration date. I end up feeling lazy and I want to do a few things, so we've been doing a lot of chores around the camper. And as I was doing chores yesterday, I was reminded of a time on a beach about a year ago, and I was reminded of that by seeing how much sand there is stuck in various crevices inside of our camper.
This is year-old sand, mind you.
It's from another continent. It's from another country. It's from another fucking year. And whoops, sorry for the foul language before the disclaimer. Let me back up for a minute and mention that this content is not appropriate for all audiences.
Especially this episode.
We are going to talk about nudity. We will refer to genitalia, probably mostly of males, freakishly, extraordinarily large genitalia for that matter. And as you have already heard, we dropped the F-bomb.
Oh, and drugs.
There is drug use. So, just so that you're aware of that, if anybody in listening range is going to be offended by that or be uncomfortable by that, this is not the podcast for you. So, how did we end up with, or do we even need to start there? That'll probably come out. So, what do you have to say about the way that we celebrated the holidays in 2016?
Yes. Wow, 2016. Can't believe it's coming up on the end of the year again. We were in Mexico. We were actually kind of wrapping up our time in Mexico. And for those of you who don't know much about how this kind of trip works, various countries allow various amounts of time for you to temporarily import a vehicle. And Mexico is one of the most generous. You get 6 full months. So we spent a good amount of time in Mexico. And the holiday season last year meant that we were running out of time, and so we kind of wanted something a little relaxing, and we decided to spend our time, our holiday, Christmas and New Year's, on a beach in the state of Oaxaca called Zibolite. And Zibolite is pretty famous for one thing. What is that thing, Will?
Nudity. It is one of Mexico's sanctioned nude beaches, but I want to back up and kind of introduce some other topics that we might probably talk about. I have an affinity for languages in a very, very broad general sense, and I also love the study of etymology. I'm definitely a hobbyist etymologist, and we'll get into that more in a later time, but I want to bring up a lot of words that I know of. I know of them by reading them. I haven't necessarily heard them spoken. But the opposite is the case with Zibolite. But just to give some, to frame that a little bit, you corrected me when I mispronounced diaspora. I was pronouncing that diaspora because I'd only read that word. I'd never heard that word. And that's true of a lot of words that are spoken. But Zibolite, for a native English speaker, if you have never heard the word spoken, you might pronounce that as Zibolite. So it's spelled Zipolite. So that's just a little bit of an introduction of maybe further episodes. We'll talk about language and pronunciation and how much I love language and words. But that's not necessarily all that important.
Right. Don't we need to get back to how much you love nude beaches?
I don't know that I would go so far as to say that I love nude beaches. It was definitely an experience that I will never forget. One of the best experiences or most fond memories that I have of this trip so far.
It was pretty epic. We rolled into Zibolite at night, which was the first time on the trip that we were actually driving at night.
Which is a bad idea.
Driving at night anywhere, bad idea. And it's not because you're going to get robbed, usually.
You might, but that's beside the point.
There are cows in the road, there are speed bumps, there are potholes that you can't see. It's just a bad idea.
There are might be drunk driving laws, but they're probably not enforced.
That too.
So it's just a bad idea.
So we rolled in there at night, and the campground that we stayed at, I don't even remember the name. Do you remember the name?
I don't.
It doesn't really matter, I guess. I mean, there's only the one. And we had to park on the street, pretty much, because it was full. But the next day, someone in a camper left, and we were able to get their spot.
Oh, we thought it was full.
Well, we got a spot, which in the sense of this particular campground, it's pretty epic. Because you back your vehicle up, and you have your own palapa. And a palapa is kind of a patio shade area.
Palm frond shaded area.
Yes, and we were able to put out our chairs and our table, and we were ready to just kind of hunker down for a few weeks on the beach. And we were in between several other campers. They were very crowded for the holidays. And to our left was a younger French couple in a truck camper similar to ours. And as we set up our stuff, and I put out my chair and I sit down and kind of gazing out at the ocean thinking, oh, this is so great. And I hear this halting English from my left, and I look around and get a face full of French cock.
And you don't mean a rooster.
I do not mean a rooster.
This is male genitalia.
It was a dick. And I don't mean to say that this guy was a dick, because he wasn't. He was trying to give me a book. He said, I have this book. It's in English. Would you like to read it? And I'm sitting, he's standing, so guess where my eye level was. And that was my introduction to Zipolite. I struggled mightily to maintain eye contact as I'm accepting this book. And it just gets better from there.
I don't know if it gets better per se, but there were many, many more adventures for sure.
Adventures in nudity?
Adventures in nudity, adventures in a lot of things. So one of my things that I remember is, so we took to, they had just, the same campground had just opened a restaurant. It was, for lack of a better word, there were two stories to it, but that doesn't really describe it. It's a bamboo structure, and there were stairs that led up, so you were at roof level of the first floor, looking out on the beach, and it was a lot of fun to go up there for sunset and just watch the goings on the nude beach. And we had a good lot of fun, like kind of making up stories. We would see the different people, and a lot of them were regulars. You could time their movements, you could set your watch by their movements.
We did see the same people every day during breakfast.
Right, during breakfast. Oh, during
they
dinner,
had the
yeah.
best chilaquiles. Oh my god.
Oh wow, I miss chilaquiles.
Yeah, that was so good.
Yeah, Mexican food is probably a whole other episode.
But yeah, breakfast was you'd be surprised how many people are out, like fully out, meaning no clothes, and taking a morning stroll along the beach. And it's, granted, it's a very beautiful beach. It's long and it's wide.
That's what she said.
So there was one particular couple, and we would generally eat breakfast around the same time every day, about 9 or 9:30. And there was a couple, I mean, their skin was just, I mean, talk about a tanned hide.
Yeah, leathered.
Jeez Louise. But they took their morning stroll every day up and down the beach. And it was like clockwork. I'd be stuffing chilaquiles in my face, and here comes this couple up and down.
So chilaquiles is not a euphemism for male genitalia, just in case you're not aware. But right, so it was a lot of fun. We saw these, you know, we would observe these people, and we decided, or at least I decided, to let's start making up stories for what they're doing. And there was one particular gentleman who we would see every day. He would walk north to south in the morning with a briefcase, and then he would walk south to north later in the afternoon. It was as if he's going to the office.
Naked.
Naked.
Going to the office naked.
So that was a lot of fun. there was another instance, or was it the briefcase gentleman? No, because the briefcase guy was naked all the time. There was another case where a man in swimming trunks approached a couple who was standing there nude, and we made up this story, or I made up this story anyhow, that
he it was a couple of men. A couple of nude men.
So this man in the shorts was a timeshare salesman because, you know, you're on a resort beach and of course you get hit up by timeshare salesmen. So it was a lot of fun to make up that story and...
Right, because this guy, the maybe timeshare salesman, actually, while he's chatting up these other two guys, just casually takes off his shorts.
He just gets naked too.
And so it seems as, or it seemed as if this was just the way it was. If you wanted to do any business in Zibolije, you had to be naked. And me, personally, got a little bit of a body image problem going on, so I wasn't really ever naked. Actually, I was never naked.
Not publicly, anyhow.
Right, not publicly. But everyone else was. And in my experience with nude beaches in the past, it's always been the people that you really don't want to see naked are the ones that go to nude beaches. This was very different. Most of the people who were frolicking nude in the sand and the waves were actually really attractive people.
So, I mean, for instance, the French man that offered you the book, like, you wouldn't consider him unattractive by any means.
He was hot.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, right, it's not... Yeah, it wasn't what I would have expected from a nude beach. I did end up getting nude for only a very brief time, but I couldn't not do it. I felt obligated.
I do regret not joining you on that frolic in the waves, naked, that
there,
you took.
There may be other opportunities.
Maybe.
So, okay, we mentioned a little bit about the campground, and we got there, and like we considered it full when we got there, and then we found a space. But we were very, very, very wrong about it being full. It was nowhere near close to full. As Christmas ended and then we moved into New Year's, apparently this is a huge New Year's destination.
For the locals.
For Mexicans. They come here to celebrate New Year's. Like, the party ended up being off the hook. It was New Year's Eve at, I don't know, by sunset, New Year's Eve or so, when the boom boom started. And... it went through the night, as we would expect, but it was 11 a.m. the next day, and it was still just fully raging, right? But, like, what you have to understand about this is, for, like, all of these people, Zipolite is just, it's a blip on the map. It's nothing. So there aren't accommodations for thousands of people. So when most people come to Zipolite, they end up camping on the beach, and, for instance, the campground where we were at, there are other hostels. Basically, you rent a spot on the beach, which you haven't really rented a spot on the beach. You're paying the owners for the privilege to use the toilet, is what it comes down to.
And to park your car.
And to park your car if you have one. So the parking lot we were camped, by Christmas Day or the day after Christmas, like, there was just no hope of us ever leaving until the crowd cleared. We would have had to find owners of 6 or 7 different vehicles to even create a path to get out, and there was nowhere for them to go anyhow.
Well, and the fact that we were jammed into this parking lot surrounded by bamboo and dried palm structures
and fireworks. Right. Yeah, that was pretty terrifying.
The fire risk was really concerning to me. I was pretty terrified that it was all going to go up in flames.
We had pretty much resigned to the fact that if a fire starts, we've just lost everything.
Everything that we own.
So we became very acutely aware of where things like our passports were. Like here's the plan. If shit lights on fire, we're grabbing our passports and leaving. We're just going to have to write everything else off. That's
exactly.
Just the reality of it.
Yeah.
There was no getting out. But anyhow, so as the tent campers started to fill in, we played a little bit of a dirty trick. We have this table that we've used twice in 16 months now. And one of the times that we used it was to kind of block off this spot so that we would kind of have our personal space under this palapa. Otherwise, our personal space was just going to be taken over.
Taken over by tents.
By
which
tents.
Is not cool. It, you know, not only does it invade our space, but it blocks the breezes from the ocean, and it was still pretty warm that time of the year in Zipolite. And so the ocean breezes were valuable, especially as everything filled up to the point of, you know, overcrowding. And you might not think that that's an issue, but when you're surrounded by cars in the sun
on one end,
yeah,
and water on the other,
and, you know, sunny hot sand on the other side, you know, having access to that breeze is pretty crucial. At least it was for me.
Right. Me too. But so anyhow, as the tenters start showing up and filling anything in, it was a couple, but like the woman didn't really even register. It was the man who, like, it was fully visual. Like, you made some comment about, wow, he's sewn a pouch into his, he was wearing like a bikini brief bottom, like something you might associate with tacky Germans. I probably shouldn't say that out loud. We're camping a bunch of Germans. But anyhow, this is what I would think of as.
Yeah,
kind of
no, it was definitely, I mean, not like a Speedo, but more just like a lady's bikini bottom.
It was a leopard print bikini bottom.
Leopard print, no less.
There was, it looked like he had a coconut stuffed, and not a peeled coconut.
No.
Like a full on, massive soccer ball size thing stuffed in
it. It was
pouch.
More like. Like, the pouch was like, you know, those giant plantains that you see in the market. It's more like that size.
It was comically bulbous.
It was.
There was no way that was a penis.
No, there was no. It was absolutely impossible that he had to have either custom-made bikini bottoms or do it like DIY, maybe. Like, oh shit, I can't find anything that's gonna, like, accommodate my dick, so I have to.
But we didn't, like, at this time, we didn't, like, there was, like, I could not believe that there's a penis in humans that is that large.
Right.
Like, and this is.
That would require that kind of
garment. This is even
including,
like, watching porn where, in some porn, that's the thing, where the penis is just this massive thing. This just didn't seem realistic that somebody actually has a penis this large. So we kind of laughed about it. Ha ha ha, this guy made this pair of shorts to make his penis look larger. Well, it's a nude beach. So
that it is.
It did not take long. Once they had their tent set up, the clothes came off. And this was, I don't even know how to describe how huge this penis was. I have never, and I've watched some porn, a fair bit of porn.
We both have watched some porn.
I've never in porn or inside porn or outside porn never have seen a penis this large. It was
massive.
Massive.
It was like looking at it made my cervix hurt.
Wow.
That's how big it was. And, you know, lots of guys, you know, might think, like, hey, bigger is better. It's kind of the rule of thumb, I guess. But, you know, from a lady's point of view, a heterosexual lady's point of view, no. Guys, no. You need to be careful with that. It hurts. It can hurt badly.
Bigly badly. So that in itself was an experience. We've talked about the party that raged on forever, but we opened this episode talking about the sand. Like, we have sand from another continent, from another year, from another country. It almost feels like it's from a completely other trip, but we have this sand in our camper. Is it cool to talk about how that happened?
It's definitely cool to talk about it. It needs to be talked about because it's fucking hilarious.
So, I don't know. I'm not going to divulge too much, but I'm just going to say that there were psychoactive substances involved, and you can elaborate on that if you want to. But we had purchased some psychoactive substances, and we had partaken in some psychoactive substance use.
We did.
On the beach during sunset, and it's...
Yeah, what happened after that is kind of, it's a little unclear still to me, but I do remember our goal, And that was to get back to the truck.
Well, we were like, I knew that I was really fucked up. And I knew that if I made the wrong decision, that it would be devastating. So I was very invested in taking it very slow. But the first obstacle that we had to get past was a sand dune. We had walked out onto the beach for sunset, had enjoyed it very much. But then sunset was over. It's dark. There's nothing going on. We need to get back to the safety of our camper. And I probably had the munchies, so I probably wanted to eat. So getting up the sand dune was the first hurdle, and it seemed, in my state of mind at the time, an insurmountable obstacle.
It was almost insurmountable. We almost did not make it.
I may as well have been scaling Everest, but it was a 5-foot sand dune.
Suffice it to say that we were both reduced to crawling up this sand dune because neither one of us could walk.
It was the largest obstacle ever.
It was the Everest of this trip so far. It really was. And we had been in the water.
3 feet above sea level, I've got altitude sickness, I'm going to die.
We had been in the water. So, of course, the sand is sticking to our skin. And then we finally crawl up and get on the top of this dune. And then we can't find the truck.
We're not entirely sure. There's no electricity there to speak of. There are lots of parking lots full of vehicles. All of them pretty much nondescript. Where we're parked at, there are other campers which look similar enough to ours in the kind of state of mind that we were in that we couldn't really discern which was our vehicle and where other vehicles were. So, like, it seemed like it took an eternity.
There was a trench involved, too.
That was not... Anyhow, okay, there might have been a trench, or it might have been a coconut tree that was cut down as a barrier. At any rate, yeah, it was definitely a tripping hazard.
Yes. Yes.
But, so we... It was so funny, because we got to one of these palapas after we climbed the Everest, and I was holding on to a pole holding this thing up because I don't think I could have stood upright under my own power. So I had to hold on to a pole so that I wouldn't fall over, and we debated and debated and debated, do we go north, do we go south? And that decision at that time seemed the most important decision that I ever would make in my entire life.
It was.
Just because if I go the wrong way, I'm probably going to die because I'm in no position to go to hike in the sand. Obviously, I had to crawl up 5 feet of sand.
It was terrible. It was really terrible. Although, to give ourselves some credit, we're dying laughing the entire time. So at least it wasn't like we were frightened or... upset about it. It was just so fucking funny that we had literally gone like 10 meters from our camper and could not find our way back. It was hilarious.
It was very hilarious, but we did find our way back.
We did. We finally found our camper.
And then
the one that our key worked on.
And then after we got home safely and we went to sleep for the night and we woke up the next morning, and that is when we realized there were sand dunes in our bed the next morning.
It was unreal. I remember waking up and kind of like moving my feet around and not quite fully awake and moving my feet and feeling the sand and thinking, did I sleep on the beach? And then I become fully awake and I'm like, ah, shit. We've got a bed full of sand. I look at my arms and I'm still covered in sand. Not sand in my hair. Not sand in my nose. Sand everywhere. So what did we do?
Well, I mean, we shook out the bedding and we tried to, like, we've cleaned up the sand as best as we can, but there are crevices that are maybe an inch wide. Like, we don't have tools to reach in there and clean that sand out.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if we got really creative, we could probably go in and get it. But I don't know if I want to. I kind of want to leave that Zipolite sand in our camper for the rest of our trip.
It is kind of the touchstone, right?
It really is.
So what else have we got to say about Zipolite?
Well, you should definitely visit if you're ever in Oaxaca. It's a beautiful beach. There are several resorts and hotels in the area where you could stay if you wanted something a little bit more upscale. The food, if you eat fish, is great. I don't eat fish, but like Will said earlier, Mexican food is going to have to be an entirely separate episode. But Zipolite, especially at the holidays, and this is not just Christmas and New Year's, this would be Mexican national holidays, very popular. So I would highly recommend it, as long as you're not easily offended by drug use, giant penises, or things of that nature.
That the giant penis thing, that's not the norm.
That was probably a one-off. We'll never see that again.
Oh no.
I wonder, maybe he was really like a Mexican porn star. Maybe he was famous and we just didn't know it.
That's not outside the realm of possibility. I don't know what else one would do with a penis of that size. I mean, that was a scientific miracle of some sort.
I don't know that I'd call it a miracle.
Oddity?
Yeah.
Oddity.
Yeah. Oddity.
Okay, so, and I'm going to throw something out there that we, you know, we discuss what we're going to talk about during these episodes. I didn't discuss this at all, but so that means I'm just going to throw it out there. But so this is our Christmas episode, and hey, if you want to do a couple of things, and one, financially support this podcast, and two, buy something for yourself or for a loved one for a Christmas gift, we would encourage you to visit one of our other websites called inkedupshirts.com and buy a t-shirt.
You should buy a t-shirt. It's really important because nobody's buying our t-shirts and it makes us really sad. And we have only a few designs available right now, but we're continually working with artists around the world to bring you some really incredible, stunning art that you can wear.
So, yeah, inkedupshirts.com. See if there is something there that would suit you or a loved one for a Christmas gift. And if you would like to get a hold of us and otherwise support this podcast in a non-financial way, we would love to hear from you. Just let us know that you're listening. Give us feedback. Topic suggestions would be great. You can reach us at www.thelifenomadic.com, or you can reach us via social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at
The Life Nomadic.
So that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you for listening to Road Noise Unedited.
And remember that Christmas is a great time to get naked.
Okay, bye.